What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in four brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
At Kroger, we know the minute a tomato is picked off the vine, the fresh timer starts. The sooner we get our produce to you, the fresher it is. That's why we've completely overhauled our process to shorten the time from harvest to home for our tomatoes, strawberries, and salads. Because we know how much you love fresh produce, we give you more time to enjoy your tasty fruits and veggies at home. So whether you're shopping in-store, picking up, or prefer delivery, we're committed to bringing you the freshest produce possible. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
I mean, we should talk about the first Jumanji a little bit, right? Or...
I mean...
Should we? Because it has nothing to do...
It really has nothing to do with our podcast. It has something to do with this episode, but nothing to do with our podcast.
I don't know what else to talk about in this cold open. Did you see the original?
Yeah, I've seen the original.
Robin Williams.
Is there not a single black person in the original Jumanji?
Yo, that's a good question. Is there a single black person in the original Jumanji?
Yes, David Alan Grier.
Oh, that's right, David Alan Grier. He's the cop.
And he's very funny. He's funnier in it than Robin Williams is.
Ooh.
He's kind of more the comic relief.
Gauntlet thrown down.
But it's not so much a throwdown. It's like his character is really like kind of the comic relief. Robin Williams is like sort of suffering and going through, like his humor, if you look closely, can also kind of be really sad, you know? Like,
that's true. Cause he was like, cause they really played up the realism of him being trapped inside a game for 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
And David Alan Grier is just like the cop who's like, what's going on? Like, whoa, a rhino just trampled my police car.
Right.
who's the woman in that? Is she also in Jurassic Park? No.
I'm being racist. Helen Hunt is in Jurassic Park. Bonnie Hunt is in Jumanji. I don't know if they're related at all, but they're both Hunts.
Okay. So, oh, shoot. Sorry. I'm doing this thing where I...
Sorry, Helen Hunt is in... What am I doing? Helen Hunt is in Twister.
No,
Laura Dern is in Jurassic Park.
Wait.
Helen Hunt... Wait, I have to say why I had that Freudian slip. Helen Hunt has an amazing audition for that role in Jurassic Park, and it's like, I kind of wish that she got the part, but she didn't.
Wait, Helen Hunt is in...
Not in Jurassic Park.
It's not in Jurassic Park or Jumanji. Helen Hunt was in Twister. Yeah, she's in Twister. And Something's Gotta Give. Or Is It As Good As It Gets? One of those movies with Jack Nicholson. I don't know what we're talking about anymore.
Somehow we've spent a full 5 minutes talking about Helen Hunt, who is not in either of the Jumanji of the movies.
In case it's playing on my recording, there is a dog here who there, I,
yeah we hear
I cannot control it at all, so
so wait oh I actually know a little secret. You could so what ha- you get like a little piece of bacon and just, you know, coax it to come near you, and then as you feed it and pet it on its head, just whisper in its ear, Jumanji.
I don't like that.
Wait, hold on. I wasn't finished. You have to whisper in its ear, Jumanji, welcome to the jungle.
That doesn't make sense. There's no way that's a thing.
No, that's true.
That's a real thing.
That's a secret.
Thank you. Yes, and there was no other way I was getting to that transition.
No, I'm going to go ahead and not. I'm going to say no to it.
All right, Nick, start the show.
Jonathan Raylock, James III, Drum Milligan.
What more can I say? You know what
Black X. All right. All right. All right. All right. All right.
Just want to get the box office real quick.
I thought that was like a foghorn sound effect.
Yeah, we'll figure out because I'll be able to take that out. It's not on James's side, but
it's just something that's distracting.
I think it's the connection.
But wait, what is? I'm sorry. Hold on. What's happening?
Sometimes when John touches his phone, there's like a foghorn.
There's a huge
like
a, yeah.
Oh, okay.
We're good, James.
All right, we're good. We're good. I just needed to see what the box office was. And I think Rotten Tomatoes is like 77%. Can you look up Rotten Tomatoes, James?
Sure, hold on. Oh, I have it. It's 77%.
I was exactly right. All right, ready?
Yeah.
Welcome to the junk. I mean, welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood. I'm dancing.
Hollywood City.
Oh,
that was for Jurassic.
Wow. Honestly, maybe the best intro ever. And that was sans Gerard. Gerard Milligan is not here. My name is Jonathan Braylock. And
my name is James the Third.
I know nobody heard that. He said his name was James the Third because he did a low.
Name
no,
is James the Third.
I didn't ask you to do it again.
And my name, my name is Zach Cherry.
Oh snap! Zach just introduced himself.
Was I not supposed to do that?
I deeply appreciate it
as well.
Trying to just participate.
We have a special guest. Zach Cherry is here, a friend of the podcast, UCB performer. As you can have also seen him. That didn't make any sense. You can have also seen him.
You can have also.
You seen can him. Have also seen him on the hit show Crashing on HBO.
Facts.
That's true.
Yeah.
And I feel like there was another show that I saw you in, but I don't remember it now. There. What was it?
Search Party.
Search Party.
On TBS.
That's right. That's exactly the show.
Check them all out.
Search Party on TBS.
I appear for under 30 seconds at a time. So keep your eyes peeled.
I was excited though. I was like, oh snap. There's honestly so many people we know on Search Party. And I didn't get an audition for that. Oh, wait. That's not you. I did. We all did. We all failed.
Yeah, we all did and we all failed. Except.
We all auditioned for the dude.
Zach Cherry rose to the top.
Brandon? Right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Brandon and Michael Hall.
Yeah, we all auditioned for that part that he played. And obviously.
No, I did. I didn't. I mean, I didn't. You guys know I didn't.
Oh,
I didn't audition.
Well, nobody needed to know that, James. All right.
I
didn't know you didn't, but now I know that you
now you know.
Now I just feel like people need to know. Like, the fans need to know. That not only did I not get to try and fail, it just didn't happen. You know what I mean?
You didn't even get the opportunity.
I just never, yeah. Like, oh, black men can't even, black men can't even see the spot he's supposed to jump to. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like that.
That's true. Oh. Were you also in the Spider-Man movie?
I was in the Spider-Man movie.
Spider-Man Homecoming.
Spider-Man Can't Jump.
Spider-Man Can't Jump. It's so funny how many... UCB people have been in Spider-Man movies. I was in The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Wow. We got a couple of Spider-Men. Yeah. We're in the universe here.
We got two people in the Spider-Man universe. James didn't get an audition.
Nope, I didn't. We just need to make sure people know. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't even get... All right.
All right. None of this has to do with the movie we're reviewing today.
Did you, James, did you get an audition for the original Jumanji?
I did. I got to audition for that.
For one of the kids?
No. I got to audition. They were like, we need someone to do ADR for, we need someone to do ADR for that rhino. You know the rhino that like is at the end of the stampede that's like mm-hmm. following behind him?
Yeah.
Yeah, I went in for that. I did ADR for that.
Didn't get it.
Stampede!
Though.
I did not get it.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, James. But you know, it's 2017. It's 2017. Good God. It's 2018. Off to a good start. Wow. Gerard actually held this down a lot better than I am without him here. We are reviewing Jumanji. This is the number one movie in the country. Did you guys know? It passed Star Wars in the box office this week.
I did not know.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as people know, I've been working on movie theater for the last few weeks. Mm-hmm. And I did know it's in our biggest theater. Mm-hmm. And it almost sells out every time. Like, by almost, I mean, like, there's, like, one empty seat. And it's, like, right. The handicapped seats that we were holding. So, like, yeah, it's been doing really well.
Yeah, it's been doing well. Star Wars was beating it, and then it just kept making money. And, you know, I think the backlash of Star Wars is finally affecting its box office gross, even though they already made over $1 billion. But Jumanji has made $244 million domestically, and then, wow, like something like $275 million internationally. So it's over $500 million worldwide, which is crazy. Its Rotten Tomatoes rating is 77%. And this is a film that I feel like when the trailer came out, or when people even heard that they were making a Jumanji movie, a sequel or a remake, I think people weren't sure which one it was. Everyone was like, why? Like, yeah. Why? Why is this happening? Nobody asked for this. There's no reason for it. There's no, it just seems like a movie that was made just to have the name of Jumanji without anything doing with the original film, but it's a hit.
Yeah, having seen it now, it feels more like it's just a The Rock and Kevin Hart movie that they just like put in the Jumanji universe.
That's right.
For some reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It stars The Rock, it stars Dwayne Johnson and Kevin Hart and Jack Black and Karen. Goodness, I forgot her last name.
Gillen, I believe, or maybe Gillum.
It's Gillen, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I will say this: Gerard has texted us, and he said that The Rock and Kevin Hart are the new Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor.
Which one is okay?
Yeah, which one is which is a really good question. I guess Kevin Hart must be Richard Pryor and The Rock is Gene Wilder, even though The Rock doesn't have the
almost
same
any qualities
that Gene Wilder has. I think he was just trying to list like comedic duos that appeared in a lot of films. This is the second iteration of a Kevin Hart, Dwayne The Rock Johnson film, right? And then the first one was Baywatch, which came out early last year.
Baywatch was Zac Efron.
Yeah.
Central Intelligence, which came out last year. I think we reviewed that film. They make a good combo.
Yeah, they do.
I agree.
Yeah, right? The central plot device of this new Jumanji is that they get sucked into a video game as opposed to a board game, and they also become the characters that they chose at the start of the video game, and they have to finish the game. They're actually in the world of the game as opposed to the game coming into their world, and they have to finish the game to escape it. And that's that.
And somebody said, I don't have any source of this, but somebody at work the other day was saying that it was like a video game movie, and The Rock was like, what if we put it in Jumanji? I literally have no proof of if that's true or not. But somebody was saying that, and that blew my mind. That originally it was like a script about like, you know, being trapped in a video game.
That makes total sense.
I'm gonna stop judging by it.
Yeah, and then The Rock was like, Jumanji. What if we set it in the world of Jumanji?
That makes total sense because it really does. Really, only the first 5 minutes of the movie have anything to do with Jumanji. And then they just get sucked into a video game that's in a jungle. It really could be any video game.
Yeah, it's true. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, initial thoughts.
Yeah, I wish I could back that up. I wish I could back that up with anything. Now it's just sort of like a thing that I've now said.
should we do our initial thoughts of the film? I don't want to.
Do you have any more anonymously sourced
tidbits.
Juicy tidbits, yeah.
Yeah, sure. No, I don't have anything. I was going to try to make something up. But
I have one. My mom saw it and said she liked it.
Oh.
Now, I can't confirm that.
No, but I feel like you can confirm it.
Actually, you know what? I can. I am. I'm confirming that.
Your mom liked it. And what about you, Zach? What were your initial thoughts of this movie?
I enjoyed the movie thoroughly. I was skeptical about the Jumanji aspect of
having
liked the original Jumanji.
Yeah.
But I'm going to love any movie that has The Rock, Kevin Hart, and Jack Black.
It's kind of true.
They're just all so funny and charismatic. And I also actually thought they did a good job with the video game stuff that they added.
Mm-hmm.
Like the rules of the world were defined pretty clearly early on, and they paid off in fun ways later. I liked a lot of that stuff. I thought it was funny and fun.
Yeah. Yeah. James?
Yeah, I really, really liked this movie. I also was going into it wondering how they were going to do it. Is it going to work? Is this going to feel like Jumanji, or am I going to like it? Are they going to ruin my childhood, et cetera, et cetera? And I think that they did a great job of paying homage to the old movie and also doing their own thing. I think it starts so strong. The jokes are so funny, especially when they first go to the jungle. It's so funny. I was dying laughing at Kevin Hart specifically. I feel like I had some small issues with it feels like a male focused movie, and I imagine that if Gerard were here, he would probably talk about some of the stuff that I'll talk about in relation to that. But it felt very male focused. And then also the characters are kind of watered down. So the black kid, we see the black kid in the beginning, and he's he plays sports and is getting someone to do his homework for him. That just feels very this is the black character, which these things are small. I don't think that they're really that big a deal or glaring or anything, but to me that kind of, and then some of the gender stuff. But I really, really liked it. Thought it was really fun all the way through. Was laughing all the way through on the edge of my seat with stuff.
I'm going to say something that it may be controversial, but I thought about it and I really feel like it's my truth. And I think it's time for the world to hear it and to recognize. Dwayne The Rock Johnson has surplaced Will Smith.
Oh, shit.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson is consistently putting out fun action blockbusters where he's the hero, making great choices, having fun, being a world famous actor, and he's doing it. And Will Smith is not. And I'm sorry, The Rock is number one now.
I agree with you.
I think he's claimed. Yeah. I think with Jumanji, he has cemented and claimed this title. It's just, it's happened. Will Smith. I still love Will Smith. Will Smith, first of all, can you think about a movie with Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Will Smith both in it? That's something that I kind of really want to see.
Now. I'm also now thinking what if put Will Smith in any of the movies The Rock recently had done, they would have been great.
Right.
Why didn't he just choose to do that?
Right. And I'm sorry. It's just happening. It's happening, guys.
Don't feel bad. Don't feel bad, Bray, because you're right. You're right.
It's true.
And I'm going to go so far as to say this. Man, fuck Will Smith.
No. 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 No.
You know what? And I want to just add, fuck Jaden, too. Yeah.
The entire family.
The Smiths are out.
Have you noticed that The Rock's been promoting his daughter a lot more on social media? By the way, I follow The Rock on. I don't follow any celebrities on social media except for The Rock, Kevin Hart, and now Will Smith. Now that he got on Instagram, and those are the only celebrities I follow, and they kill it. And The Rock really kills it. But I like this movie, man. It was fun. You know, I Yeah, I hear what you're saying about. I mean, I actually thought the black character was really just the jock. Like they are stock characters, but like the stock characters are more just the jock, the nerd, the pretty girl, and like the, you know, the girl who's not so pretty but smart, like the smart girl. And
it was like high school movie.
Yeah, it's like high school movie trope characters, and I really liked that when they became their avatars. And even though they were different, like some were different races, like the white guy became the Rock, like it wasn't really mentioned at all. Like, you know, there was like a black penis joke maybe, but whatever. There was a penis joke. But, you know, and yeah, and that kind of, yes, it does. I think this movie skews male focused, but they had some, I thought they had some nice, you know, moments where they were talking about women and like how, like their perception of, you know, the pretty girl as like an object, or, you know, she's like trying to please guys by like wearing less clothing. Like they talked, like they had those little conversations, and like also that the woman avatar character could kick butt was really cool. And she actually did more fighting. I mean, she did just as much fighting as the Rock did, which was cool. Man, also, I mean, while we're here and talking about this movie, Jack Black, guys.
So good.
Oh, my God. I just thought, I literally was watching this movie. I was like, he is crushing this performance, because, you know, it's very easy, I think, in comedy to just have a guy acting like a girl. And it's just like, this is funny. But he really lived in that character in a way that was not commentating on it, like not judging it. Like, he was just like, this is how I would act. You know, this is how a teenage girl would act, especially one who lives in 2017. And I just thought he was, man, he was so good.
He was so committed to it.
He was so committed to it. I thought The Rock did a really great job. Like, I thought his acting was great. I will say, you know, I thought Kevin Hart stuck out just a little bit because he was just doing his Kevin Hart thing. I didn't feel like he was trying to embody the character that we had seen previously, you know, who we knew he was in real life. He kind of just was like, nah, I'm just going to be Kevin Hart. You know, so there was a part of me that like initially I was like, the jokes he did in the beginning were very funny, but it was hard for me to get on board. But eventually I kind of just let that go because the movie was so fun. And Kevin Hart is just so funny. Like,
I thought it worked because Kevin Hart's persona is almost always like a guy who kind of like wishes he was bigger, you know,
right, he has that attitude
and that ferocity.
Right.
So I thought just like the Kevin Hart thing kind of worked because like it was almost like his character was reacting to that now he is small.
Right, right.
But Kevin Hart has just like spent his whole career building up that persona.
Right, right.
But I agree, he was just like doing Kevin Hart.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's true.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Where's the other half
I'm
of
sorry,
me?
Can we... I'm sorry, can we hold on for just 1 second? The dog has a squeaky toy that I want to get it away from.
All right, one second. You know what? We're going to take a quick break for hear a word from our sponsors, if we have any. And if not, we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Will Arnett. We are inviting you to follow us as we go on tour and we take our podcast Smartless on the road. Join us and watch any boundaries we previously had disappear. Like you've never seen us before, you'll see us on the road ordering lunch, roasting each other, and on stage as we surprise each other with a mystery celebrity guest in each city. Boy, that sounds amazing.
Welcome to Smartless!
Don't miss our new series, Smartless on the Road, streaming May 23rd, only on Max. Subscription required.
Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood is sponsored by BetterHelp. Guys, man, you know, I just had a job end, which, you know, I was very fortunate to have. But it's so funny how quickly stress starts to accumulate when you're not working.
It's too much. It's too much. It's heavy.
You know?
I got the shakes and, you know, the heart palpitations, all of it.
I agree. I will say I've had the benefit of not being unemployed this long since 2009. And what are we in April? Soon to be May. And I have not had a paycheck all of 2024. So this is the most stress I've ever had. My parents may need to get an aid. And I'm like, who's coming to save the day? So stress is high. Anxiety is high.
And, you know, sometimes
to talk about this stress, therapy can be a safe space. Like, get that stuff off your chest, figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down, you know, instead of just keeping it all bottled up and feeling like you have to hold everything inside. I know therapy has helped me. I almost look at it as like check-in. Like, sometimes I got a lot to say, sometimes not so much, but it's like, it is super, super helpful.
Yeah. I appreciate getting the tools to like kind of understand the mechanism of how I'm behaving, you know, and reacting mm-hmm. in certain situations. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I use BetterHelp, and Timothy, black male therapist, saves the day because he gets it, man. I'm like, you know what? Thank you, bro. For sometimes it's just 30 minutes of just me rambling, and I'm like, oh, you didn't even say hello yet. and he's like, keep going. I'm like, thank you. Yes.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient and flexible. It's suited to your schedule, which is absolutely essential these days. All you got to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and you can get matched with a licensed therapist. And if you want, switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/jump today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/jump.
You gotta jump to get that BetterHelp. BetterHelp!
Priceline presents Go to Your Happy Price. What's up? It's Kaylee Cuoco. When it comes to travel, we all have a happy place. You can see yourself already there. It's beautiful. It might be sunny and sandy for some, neon and urban for others, deserts or rainforests or hiking trails. With Priceline, you can get to your happy place for a happy price with deals you really can't find anywhere else, like up to 60% off select hotels to Costa Rica or 5-star hotels for 2-star prices in Cabo. Go to Priceline.com and travel to your happy place for a happy price. All right, see ya. I'm off to Miami. No, actually, wow, look at that. No, I'm going to Hawaii now. Ooh, Cancun looks nice. You know what? Belize looks pretty nice this time of year. Or, Palm Springs.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So, you open Google Chrome on your phone. You're hunting for a super rare first edition vinyl of a band you're obsessed with. When you're supposed to be working. But this site you tapped on seems pretty shady. And Daryl from IT just jumped up from his desk. Oh no, he's coming your way. It's a good thing built-in malware protection keeps you safe and sound. Not from Daryl though, sorry. There's no place like Chrome. Download Google Chrome on your phone.
Welcome to the jungle. Sorry, I just keep wanting to say that. Welcome back. Guys, we're gonna get into it. Let's talk about this movie. You know, what do we think about the opening? Basically they were mirroring the first Jumanji movie. We see the guy who gets stuck in the game, the video game. It's 1996. Did that feel accurate to 1996?
I thought it was cool the way they made the game sort of evolve to right. modern time. I thought that was really smart.
Yeah. It's really simple. Just like he has the board game. He's like, who plays board games anymore? Yeah. And then just puts it on top of the video game and the magic just kind of sucks into the video game.
Yeah. I thought that was like the perfect setup to get into what they wanted to do with video game stuff.
Yeah.
And it like never needed to be, there was never a question that Jumanji could do that. Right, like, right. Just it choosing to be a different game was just like, yeah, of course, of course, Jumanji can do that.
Yeah, Jumanji finds a way.
Well, it's just literally like the magic of like what that video, like why this game is cursed, why it sucks people into games. Like, none of that is necessary at all. They just are like, we're not going to explain this. Don't question it. Just this is the reality, and you go, all right, sure.
It actually did this. It did make me start wondering, like, what is Jumanji's goal? Yeah. Like, because it clearly has some agency, because it goes, okay, kids aren't playing with me anymore. I'm going to turn into a video game. But like, what does it want out of this situation?
But the thing that the other thing that I love about thinking about the actual logic of Jumanji is that now twice it's laid dormant for 20 periods. It's like a cicada, like for some reason it's just like, now we want to, you know, lure children into this game. Like, why? Like, what?
And both times in the last 20 years that someone has played it, they've defeated it with no problems. Like, it looked a little dicey, but, you know, like, they succeed.
Like, the first kid, it's always just the first kid who gets, actually, there are longer than 20-year periods. Essentially, the logic of the Jumanji universe is that in 1976, a kid finds this game, plays it, gets sucked into it.
Plays it once,
gets sucked into it. No one touches it for 20 years. Then in 95, somebody finds it. They play it. It causes all this havoc. Then they defeat it. And then 1 year later, another kid finds it, gets sucked into a video game. And then for 20 years, nobody sees it again until four kids play it. So the sequel has to be like 2018, somebody finds it. And then it's like 2038.
Yeah, I agree. That's the pattern.
That's the pattern.
Maybe it's like Toy Story where it just wants to be played
with. Yeah, it just wants to be played with.
Yeah.
Honestly, I play board games. Board games are fun.
Yeah. The writers of this must not have known about the new like board game movement with all these like complicated board games.
But I feel like it is like it's a thing if you're going to play a board game.
Right.
It's like a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a board game night or something.
Yeah, you got to organize it.
Yeah, you definitely have to. You got to organize it. We meet our four characters. Ugh, man, I'm sorry. What are their names? James, I can't touch my phone or something happens.
Their names are The Rock, Kevin Hart, Jack Black, and Karen Gillan.
Okay, hold on. No, their names
I know
are,
the black dude is Fridge because he keeps calling him the refrigerator.
Yeah, Fridge, Spencer.
Spencer is like the nerdy kid.
All right, Spencer. Yeah, The Rock's second role as a Spencer, because his character on Ballers is also named Spencer.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, Spencer Strathmore.
Oh, wow. Beth is the hot girl?
No. Oh, yeah, Bethany's the hot girl. I'm sorry, I was just thinking Karen Gillan, because she's hot. but Bethany is the hot girl. And then... And then Martha. Martha?
Yeah.
Oh, Martha.
The nerdy bookish one.
Yeah, that's Martha's a very nerdy name. Yeah, and I mean, just real quickly, Fridge is a football player. Him and Spencer used to be friends. Spencer's doing his homework for him because if Fridge, you know, fails, then he won't be able to play football anymore, and that's the only thing that he can do. And Spencer helps him because they used to be friends, even though Fridge doesn't hang out with him anymore. He literally treats him like he never knew him. Like he's just like some punk kid. And then we also kind of establish that the house is there. What do they call it? The freak house.
Yeah. Which did you guys see the movie It?
Yeah.
Was that the same house as the house in It?
Very similar.
I was like,
That's got it. Might as well have been the same house.
Just like, did you guys have a house like that at your neighborhoods growing up?
No.
Yes, we did. But it wasn't like that. It wasn't that big. But there was a creepy house at the end of my street that had like a keep out sign that I think now the house itself has like sunk. This is so crazy.
Oh, snap.
It is like sunk like into the dirt now. Like it's like
it's built on a sinkhole.
But
hell is reclaiming that house.
Yeah, it was really, really creepy house at the end of the street.
There was a house where when I walked to school, my middle school, that it was just cut like there were trees all around it. So like you could barely see it, and it had like a very old kind of creepy gate. And I always thought that house was kind of creepy just because like the house, like everybody's house from the street was just there. But this house was like far away from the, like, you know what I mean? Like from the sidewalk, like far away, like you had to walk up to it and it was covered in trees that were very high. So you couldn't actually see the house.
Were there like legends around these houses?
No, none.
Just
none
ones
for me.
You made up in your head, like yes, as you're walking by.
Yeah, like whenever I wrote or thought about a haunted house, I would always think about that house without knowing anything about it. And then I think they like cut their trees down and it looks completely fine.
Now it looks like idyllic.
Yeah, it's just like a nice. Yeah, it's like, oh, that's a nice house.
It's just like a regular.
It's really the trees are doing all the work. Bethany is, you know, she's obsessed with her phone. She's you know, fixing the gram pic, you know, that, I don't know.
That character, what you were talking about with this being like a very male-focused movie.
Yeah.
I thought the movie's disdain for that character right away was a little much. It was like, it was clearly written by a bunch of like 50-year-old dudes who were like, these young women are too focused on their phones and their pictures. That was like,
yeah.
That part of it I did have a problem with. But then Jack Black's performance later, I thought, sort of saved.
Yeah,
that
they kind of
yeah.
defend. He kind of defended that character in certain ways, and
and
accepted like some of the criticism, some of the healthy criticism that was brought on, and then deflected some of like, no, you're just painting me into this box and judging me without knowing anything about me.
Also, probably what really stuck out in my mind is when I saw this movie, I was sitting in front of like two, maybe 10-year-old kids who were talking the entire movie to the point where, later in the movie, my dad consistently gets in fights with children at the movies. he's always the guy who turns around and is like, stop it. But he always does it. He uses like two words and then they never talk again. But these kids, anytime that character would come on, would be like, oh, she's so dumb. And I was like, ooh, I don't like the way these children are like reacting to the kind of message, you know.
Right.
I don't know that later on, maybe later on they like understood that the movie was actually like, well, actually, you know, there's a lot of like social pressures and like there's a lot going on. I'm not sure they got that. So
yeah,
I
don't think they would have gotten
that. That made it sort of more prominent in my head.
They definitely leaned heavily on like ditzy, dumb, blonde, like, you know, pretty blonde teenage girl.
Yeah.
And even like, even like the Martha, she hates PE and is like, you know, it's like, why do I have to do this? This is so dumb. And you're like, the student has been doing PE for literally, she's been doing this for so long. Like now today she's going to have like, she's going to take a stand and be like, no, though. Oh my God. I laughed so I only laughed three times out loud in this movie. The movie was fun and funny, but I only actually laughed out loud three times. One of the times was when she's talking to the PE teacher and says, you know, blah, blah, like, I don't want to have to grow up and become a PE teacher.
Yeah, that was harsh.
It was so harsh. Everybody in the literally most of my audience went, and it was like my audience went, and I went, ah. Oh man, I was such a jerk. But it was so hard. I love the little, they all get detention. I always love in these kind of movies when detention is like some elaborate task.
Yeah, what was their job? They had to like sort through VHS. Yeah.
They had to remove staples. They had to remove staples from magazines. Old magazines.
Right. They had to remove the staples from old magazines because that was the proper way to recycle them. And then he literally said, if you don't get this done today, you have to come in tomorrow. And they said, tomorrow's Saturday.
Yeah.
And I was like, what school has the jurisdiction to be like, you have to complete this manual labor, and if you don't, you have to come. It's like, that's not how detention works.
Also, I don't think they ever resolved, like, you know, at the end of the movie, I don't think they ever resolved whether or not they finished that task. Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, great, no. you survived Jumanji, but no one else in the world knows that or cares. You still got to take out all of those
all
staples.
All those staples.
Yeah.
A comical amount of staples.
That could be the sequel.
I also I was kind of confused as to how the game got from the freak house to the school, but
there was no explanation of that either. Yeah,
they didn't care.
Not at all. They didn't.
It doesn't matter.
They just
wanted
us to kind. Yeah, no, it doesn't matter at all.
Jumanji finds a way.
Jumanji finds a way.
Jumanji finds a way.
All right, let's just get
Bonnie Hunt said in in Jurassic Park, Jumanji finds a way.
Jumanji? That's what they had. It was Helen Hunt's line. Jumanji finds a way.
So they they all pick their little... they find the game. They plug it in. They pick their avatars. They guilt the Martha into playing it too because she doesn't have any fun, and they all get sucked into the game.
There was a moment when they were picking their avatars that I liked, that I thought was cool, which was like the captain was already chosen.
Right.
And you like at that moment in the movie, you didn't know exactly what was going on, but I thought that was like a fun, smart video game type thing. Of yeah. Like, oh, that kid from the 70s or the 90s.
Yeah.
That kid from the 90s had already picked that character, and I thought that was cool later when you met him.
Right.
This moment of like, no, oh, yeah, that's the guy.
It's funny. I we didn't even talk about him. I completely forgot Nick Jonas was in this movie.
Nick Jonas.
So when I saw that the other character was picked, I knew because I knew because like of the original Jumanji, I was like, oh, I wonder who's going to get to play that. And then it was Nick Jonas, and I was like, oh. I mean, he was fine.
I had been hoping because the Rock had like tweeted that there was like a nice homage to Robin Williams in the movie.
Yeah.
And so like my secret wish for when I saw the trailer was like, I hope Nick Jonas is somehow playing Robin Williams in the movie. I was like, and I know I could just look on IMDb and see if his name was Alan Parrish, but I just want to wait and see what happens. And then when I saw that the avatar was picked, I was like, aw. So I had the similar feeling, but for a different reason.
You were excited to see what Nick Jonas would do with the opportunity to do an imitation of Robin Williams.
To play Robin Williams.
It was the Easter egg was like cool, but then I was also like, again, it was what, goodness. It was one of those things where if you thought about it at all, the logic just completely
crumbled.
What was it
exactly? They found like his house?
He was like, this isn't my house. This is his house, Alan Parrish. He was also stuck in this game. But I was like, cool. But like when Alan Parrish was stuck in the game, he grew up.
At Kroger, we know the minute a tomato is picked off the vine, the fresh timer starts. The sooner we get our produce to you, the fresher it is. That's why we've completely overhauled our process to shorten the time from harvest to home for our tomatoes, strawberries, and salads. Because we know how much you love fresh produce, we give you more time to enjoy your tasty fruits and veggies at home. So whether you're shopping in-store, picking up, or prefer delivery, we're committed to bringing you the freshest produce possible. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, this is Tim Heidecker, and I'm glad to be back in Glendale, California, in the studio with my good friends DJ Doug Pound and Vic Berger for another episode of our podcast, Office Hours Live. This week, we had a very special guest, Hiss Golden Messenger, who played a beautiful tune for us. We laughed, we had fun, and you should tune in to Office Hours Live this week, and quite frankly, every week on your podcast app of choice or at youtube.com/Office Hours Live.
Up,
yeah.
Like he aged. He wasn't an avatar. He was like a real person who got stuck.
I didn't clock that.
It said Alan Parrish was here.
Right,
you wouldn't
that.
Have known if you didn't. Yeah,
but I didn't notice.
Yeah,
that
but
logic
I think
thing.
Like maybe something about it is just that like once they were inside the game, they were inside Jumanji, which is like this other thing.
What happened to Robin Williams. When he was a boy, he got stuck inside Jumanji because, like, he rolled the dice and the game was like, you know, I forgot what happened, but he got sucked into the game.
Yeah,
it was just one of the options that came up.
Well, the game got a patch, it got an update.
Yeah, it got
so
an
the
update.
Rules are different now.
Anyway, so here we are to the actual. This is the part. This is the fun stuff. You know, they all land to this game. You know, we have like a fun moment of them recognizing like who they are, you know, realizing, oh man, I'm, you know, 6'5", 220-pound, you know, man. And, you know, Kevin Hart is Kevin Hart. And Bethany's Jack Black.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun. And what's her, Karen, she just realizes she's not wearing any clothes. And they make a comment on that. I like that little commentary on, like a little Tomb Raider commentary.
She also, her character was sort of just like she was the only character who went, her avatar could have just been her as a grown up. You know, like if she just like decided to become like a trained fighter and like got a little taller, she just could have been that character.
I thought that casting was so cool. Like, they looked so much alike.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Do you want to talk about anything here?
I mean, I really like that, like, this whole opening sequence, like, from they get there and they're like trying to figure each other out. Kevin Hart reacting to everything in this from the beginning, from this until like their first checkpoint is so funny. Like the fact that the guy, the video game character, Rhys Darby's playing the video game character, and he just keeps repeating the same lines over and over and over again.
And they,
like,
had
that was really fun.
They had that cut scene where, like, they couldn't do anything. They were right. Just like watching. That was like a fun little video game joke.
Yeah, yeah. They're like, we can hear them talking over it. That's what
that was like funny. He's like, what's happening? Yeah. It's like, oh, it's one of these cut scenes. That was funny.
They have to say, for the people that don't know, they have to say that happens. The exact line, that happens in video
games. That happens in video games.
For people that don't play video games.
Yeah. It's an NPC. What?
Yeah. I actually thought this was sort of the most fun stretch of the movie, just because they were like setting up all the rules and like the logic of the world.
Right.
When you die, you fall out of the sky, and then they like figured out the tattoos meant they had three lives. I thought all that stuff was like really fun, and they like that part of the movie, they really did think a lot about the logic, I think,
right,
of
right.
Like, this is how a video game would work if you were really into a video game. I thought they did a very good job
with
that.
It was very simple, and they like spaced it out too, because I immediately, when I saw the tattoos, I was like, oh, those are lives. Those are their lives. But they didn't figure out it until a little bit later, because Jack Black dies immediately. Gets eaten by a hippo. I love the idea of like these hippos just eat people. Like,
yeah.
And not only do they eat people, they like leave the water and like...
They hunt.
They hunt.
Yeah.
They hunt in the jungle. For me, the most fun was them learning their strengths and weaknesses. That just the strengths and weaknesses. The Rock.
I mean, it was so funny.
The Rock was like speed, strength, boomerang, like all this stuff. Weaknesses, none. And then Kevin Hart's, it's like strengths, zoology. And weapon carrier?
Yeah,
weapons,
something like that.
Yeah, weapons carrier, weapons caddy. I can't remember what the
it's
word
like
was.
It's like a weapon carrier, and then weaknesses, strength, speed, cake.
Endurance, maybe? Or
endurance
was
Jack Black's, yeah. and then like, cake. It was like, why?
I mean, his reaction to this is so funny. It's like, he's just like, tell me something. How can one of my weaknesses be strength?
My weakness is strength.
He like harps on that for so long. It is, I was dying.
It is funny because in the context of strength and weaknesses, and your weakness is strength.
Such a good joke. Yeah.
Oh man, that cracked me up.
There were so many moments in this movie where Kevin Hart like delivered lines where I was like, man, if anyone else in the world said that, it wouldn't have been funny. But like the way he said it made me laugh so hard. Like in the helicopter later on when he drops the thing, gem or whatever, and he just like turned around and looked at them.
Whoops.
Like, whoops. Yeah. Or what? I dropped the gem. Like, just, he's so funny.
And they go, whoops. He goes, yeah. I was leaning over.
Yeah.
I was leaning over and it fell out of my backpack. And obviously, and the funny part is, I know that's bad. I know it's bad that I fell out my backpack, and we gotta go back and get it.
He's the best.
So I said, well,
and I feel like what made that moment work so well is Kevin Hart he's always like yelling, or he's always like exasperated, and he delivers that like it's like so straightforward. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm like doubled over laughing just thinking about it.
Also, just, I mean, the callback for cake when he eats, he's like, oh, what is this, bread? And then he eats it and he's like, wait a minute, what is this? He goes, oh, My mom's famous pound cake. Pound cake. Oh no, what's going on? Is my face puffy? Am I blown up? What's happening? Am I shrinking? Am I disappeared? What's going on? And they're like, no, you look fine. He goes, oh, all right. Okay then. All right, good. Yeah, I guess just make cake is my weakness. Like, I like cake too much. You know, I eat it too much. I get fat. But
explosion.
He explodes.
Yeah, that was great.
And then later on, he goes, cake makes me explode. He's just deadpan like, cake makes me explode. Oh, man. Funny stuff.
What did you guys think of Bobby Cannavale's villain
it
character?
Was too much.
I thought he was legitimately unsettling.
He was unsettling.
The stuff yeah. where they're like scorpions yeah. was coming gross. Out of his mouth or ears or whatever.
And also like I think this might just be because I have the other movie as a reference, but like the way that like Van Pelt is sort of like I mean Van Pelt obviously had way more layers. He's like trying to kill him and he looks just like he is his dad, you know. And all that's, it's the Captain Hook kind of thing. But like every time we see Bobby Cannavale, it's like absent from everybody else. And like, they don't do it with it's not done in a way of like, oh, this is a cutscene and we're now seeing this happen the way it would happen if you were actually playing a video game.
You're
so
right.
Like, it felt like he was like
a real...
going rogue in a way.
Yeah,
like it was like,
right.
oh, and that I think is what made him so scary. It's like, we don't know what he's going to do.
It's true.
And because everyone could die and we could see them die in a way that we didn't see in the other movie, you know? Yeah.
Also like there was something about, even though it was the setup, like before I knew that the safari guy was a part of the video game, him saying like Jumanji's in trouble, like I just took that literally and thought, oh, like the game is actually in danger of like, I don't know, losing whatever intention, yeah. whatever noble intention the game usually
oh,
has
yeah.
for sucking kids in.
And it did feel yeah. like you were saying, it did feel like he was going rogue from the video game program.
Right, almost. Right, because it wasn't,
yeah,
you're right,
yeah.
they weren't cutscenes. Yeah, there was something, and like his like eye, like it was like, you know, cross-eyed, like, kind of, and, you know, yeah, it was a weird, it was a terrifying villain that didn't feel like it was a part of the game, even though it yeah. was a part of the game.
Right.
Yeah, he was great. I mean, Bobby plays bad guys in so many movies. I thought the bad guy could have been a little bit more fun, but... that was just me. I wonder if Bobby was as, I don't know. There's something frightening to me about the original Jumanji, the dude who's just hunting mm-hmm. Robin Williams in like a very like,
yeah.
he's just a hunter.
Yeah.
And like in a way that felt a little bit more menacing than like all of the showmanship of Bobby, which is like, bugs crawling right. out of his mouth yeah. and like into his ear, and you know, like he kills people by like, it was kind of like the Mummy felt like.
I wonder if
yeah
they almost had to make, because I think the original, having it set in like the real world, the world that you're in,
yeah,
made the stakes feel a little bit higher,
right?
Because it was like, oh, these rhinos can like tear apart this world and involve people who aren't even playing the game.
Right,
it
right.
can like destroy everything,
yeah.
So I wonder if they felt like they needed to like make this villain more grotesque because they're in a video game.
Right, right.
So because you need to like raise the stakes somehow.
Yeah. Yeah. How did you feel about Bobby, James?
Yeah, I mean, like just in thinking about everything that we're saying, it's like, it's almost like they could have, I think everything that we've said so far is right. Like they just made him scarier and scarier because of they could do visual effects and like all kind, you know, we're inside of a video game now. But like it is, if we compare him though to the villain in the other movie, it's like they had more opportunities to do stuff where like people are sort of facing their deepest fears even more. Like they played with like, oh, you have to smolder, you have to feel like you are as confident as this guy.
Right.
because you're playing this avatar. But like, can you imagine if the weaknesses would have been something that was like really cutting to them, like even more so, you know, like,
right.
like, you know, instead of weaknesses, none, it could be like weaknesses perfect in every way. You know what I mean? And so then he's like, and then he's like grappling with like, it's even more on the nose, kind of in the way that the other movie was. Cause in thinking about it, everybody is sort of grappling with the thing that they're grappling with. Like Peter is not talking to his dad, and Bonnie Hunt is worried about, like, is she a crazy person? And then through the movie, they learn, like, no, you're not that. Like, if the video game, I think, could have called on to their, could have played with their own fears even more. Like, Fridge is used to being so strong, you know, and now he has to play this, like, kind of weak guy. But, like, what if it had more to do with him taking a back seat? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Anyway, that I feel like these are all connected. I know I'm not so much talking about the villain.
Yeah, I feel like they were doing that a little bit more so with our main characters and less so with... Like, the villain was just there and it was, like, creepy, but, like, in certain ways, he felt disconnected from the story.
Yeah.
Because they didn't even have to defeat him. All they had to do was complete the task, and he was just in their way. Mm-hmm. But they didn't have to defeat him in any way like you usually do in a video game. You usually have to defeat a big boss, you know, at the end. The big bad, if you will. And nobody took down the big bad. They just were able to survive long enough for, you know, The Rock to put in the thing and say Jumanji, and that was kind of it.
Yeah.
That was the defeat. But there was a part of me that was like, oh, it would be cool if they defeated him, but then there was like a, you know, some stampede, and they had, and you could still have the high stakes of like, will they get this jewel up there in time? But anyway, I mean, there's no, that's just nitpicking. It's,
yeah,
it was like my least favorite part of the film was the villain. Everything else was like, because they were, you know, the levels, even like they were like, oh, it's the next level, but it's like, I was like, these levels are super basic. They're just like, fight, like, move to one, from one place to another,
run away from this group of motorcycle guys,
run away from this group of motorcycle guys. Yeah. Like, the snake thing was fun.
The Jack Black flirting tutorial was so funny.
Yeah. Oh
and
my god.
Also. The whole movie, because it was set in a jungle, I also couldn't stop thinking about Jack Black in Tropic Thunder.
Right.
I was just like, this. You put this guy in a jungle, and it's he so just true. Goes to work.
It's so true. I was thinking the same thing. I was like, man, and Jack Black in Tropic Thunder is so good.
Yeah.
He's so good in that movie.
He's a gem.
He really is a gem. I feel like he's underrated, even though he's not. But... we stopped talking about Jack Black for a while, and I just, watching him in this movie, I was just thinking, damn, this dude is funny.
I think he suffers from that, like, thing that happens to a lot of comedians where people assume he just naturally is the way that he is in his movies. Because a lot of his early roles seem to be more just like Jack Blacky.
Yeah.
But, like, this was very much not Jack Black.
Right, exactly.
But he was still so good and so funny.
Still so good. Yeah, him. Even the snake scene was so funny. Him just being like, you know, they're like, I think you just have to stare at it, and then and then distract it. You
I'm
can't
amazing
blink.
I'm amazing
staring
at
staring. Yeah, yeah.
Who's I good? Loved that.
Who's good?
I thought just, that was so funny.
I'm amazing at it. Yeah. like almost like, I'm amazing at it. Yeah. Like, I'm sorry, it is me.
Yeah.
And then it had nothing to do with. I love that it had nothing to do with that. It was like, oh, I guess it wasn't about that at all. You had to trust me. That was fun. Yeah, Nick Jonas. What did you guys think about Nick Jonas?
I think he's great.
I think he's great. I don't think he lived up to the standard set by the other performances in the movie.
Yeah. I agree. I was like, you're doing a fine job, but the movie is asking for so much more. And
But to be fair,
I guess his character wasn't that
right. We didn't really know anything about his character as a real person, so it was hard to see. Like all the comedy was coming from the like disparity between what we knew of them as high school kids and their avatars. Him, we only saw like 5 seconds of. So I'm sure that was like harder to kind of play up those differences.
Yeah, like we got to do. You know, with him, we got to just get like 1996 references and stuff like that instead of like, you know, like what's going on with him personally. But we also only saw him for like a second.
You know right. I mean? But I guess here's my thing is that I don't understand why they casted him, because if they casted somebody like they probably couldn't have gotten these people, but if they casted someone like any of the Chris's, like a Chris Hemsworth or a Chris Pine, like someone who looks like like your idea of like a movie star pilot, and then that person had to act like a teenage boy, that would have added some of that element to it. Instead of Nick Jonas, who to me, I'm sure he's 25 or whatever, but to me, I'm looking at him, I'm like, if this movie had you as 17 years old, I wouldn't bat an eye.
Yeah,
I'd be like,
he still reads as kind of teen.
Yeah, he reads as young. Yeah. You know, he reads as like very early 20s. Like his character wasn't even different as opposed to everybody else who were completely different, you know?
They put him in a tough spot.
Yeah.
You know, it was a... Yeah, so it was just like
I feel like that was intentional, right? Like, I mean, I don't think that they did. I felt very weird about this whole thing, but I think it's intentional because he's like he looks like a young kid. So there's supposed to be like this weird Bethany, Jonas like thing, and so I think that they did that on purpose. I don't like how they handled this. It just made me feel weird for most of the movie, going, that's like a 40-year-old man.
it's weird. Like, it's weird to me because it's like, I was like, oh, they could have just had him. Oh, I mean, they established in the world that he has only been in the video game for months, even though in the real world he's been out for 20 years. But there's also, I just felt like even more humor could have been added on if there was like an older... this older white man flirting with a Jack Black. You know what I mean? Like,
it just.
I don't know. But anyway.
That is very funny. That's very funny.
Yeah. So, I was just like, that was the one casting choice that I was like, I just feel like Nick Jonas isn't popular enough that you were like, we had to get Nick Jonas for this movie.
Right. Except, it wasn't quite stunt casting, but like, it kind of was.
I guess it was for like young, girls, like I guess maybe that's who it was for. Like it was trying to target young girls because they knew young boys would already come in and watch this. Because it was somewhat, was this PG-13 or PG? I guess it was PG-13.
Yeah,
but they still really they wanted young people to see this movie. Definitely. Like they definitely wanted.
Listen, I love Nick Jonas. Okay, so all they right. also cast him for okay. me. They also cast him for me going in seeing the movie, then seeing Nick Jonas. You know what I'm saying? Because I all like right. Nick Jonas. I thought he did a good job.
You're a huge Nick Jonas acting guy.
Has he been in stuff before?
I have no idea.
Yeah, he's on Scream Queens.
Ah, that's Scream Queens. Okay.
Among other things, but that's what I know him from.
All right. What did you think about them casting Colin Hanks?
Oh, yeah. That was a real... I was just surprised and confused.
It was so bizarre to me. Yeah. I was just like, why?
What? Is that a weird casting choice?
It felt weird to me to have... I guess we're supposed to not feel like Colin Hanks is famous, but it just felt like, why did you have someone this famous in this like little bit part at the end to have to pull off this weird, like, you know, I like Bethany, but like, obviously I can't say that I like you because now I'm a 40-year-old man and you're 17 years old.
It was even a little strange that they decided to include that storyline. Like, I was just confused by that.
Like, he's a kid.
Yeah,
like,
it was so weird. Like, no one wants to see this. Like, no one wants to see, like, a 40-year-old man going up to a teenager.
I also love, like, the reality of he lived out 20 years of his life, but then when he sees these four kids just walking down the block kind of questionably looking, he's like immediately like, you must be.
Because he didn't, he never saw what they looked
never
like.
Never saw what they looked like. He literally was like, I remember, not only do I remember the fact that I was in Jumanji for 20 years with four people, I remember your personality so distinctly that just four kids looking at the house in a strange way means you must be the four people.
And no,
let me just look at you for a second. And yep, your fridge and your Spencer.
No,
and
but that's
Martha,
the only thing I didn't have a. That's the only thing I didn't have a problem with. Like you
what?
The only thing I didn't have a problem with was that like he's been spending all of this time, and then now all it takes is a trio of kids to like kind of slowly walk over to it.
But there, what I really want is a compilation video of him like at different moments in his life, just whenever there are four kids who are kind of passing him and look at him, and he goes. Fridge? And they're like, no. He's like, oh, shoot, sorry. Never mind. Thought you were somebody else. And just moves on. Like, he just keeps asking three boys and what, like, two boys and two girls. He's like, this must be.
It's definitely happened before.
It's definitely.
And his wife, every time, is like, what are you doing? Why are you, keep asking for, hey, honey, can I get a minute to go talk to these high school kids? And then you come back and you always look disappointed.
Every time we come to your father's place, every time you go over to four teenagers, two boys and two girls.
No, stop this. It's not every time. It doesn't happen every time. It's the moment. It's when it's those kids. It's when he feels, because he looks out and he's like, he feels it. There's a connect. They're connect. They were in Jumanji together. Okay. He feels it.
You are so insistent on naming our young daughter Bethany.
Bethany, yeah.
I told you, I hate that name.
What a conversation. Honey, it's really important to me. Is it your grandma's name? No. Why Bethany?
She saved my life once when I was trapped in a video game.
Do you think he told his wife?
I liked her.
Do you think he was like, hey, this is something you really need to know about me. I was trapped in a video game for 20 years.
And then I had to relive 20 years after that.
Yeah,
I've been on this earth for 60 years. Uh-huh. My mental capacity is that of a 60-year-old.
Oh, no.
That's why you cast Colin Hanks. You got to get all
that
across.
You got to get all that in one scene.
You got 30 seconds.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Now I appreciate that casting choice a lot more. You had to get Colin Hanks for that. You had to. Oh, man. Is there anything else we need to say about this movie? I feel like we covered all the bases. I mean, we didn't really. The ending was like, yeah, I liked them bringing back that he was scared of squirrels. There was just a squirrel.
Yeah, that was cool.
Like when he's like, I have to climb, and he's climbing in the tree, and then he sees a squirrel.
There were a lot of fun payoffs at the end. Like I didn't see it coming that they would, because the whole movie they've established that when you die, you fall out of the sky.
Yeah,
and I thought just like, oh sure, that kind of makes sense. I didn't see it coming that would be the way they like solved the problem.
Neither did I.
They would intentionally.
Yeah, I didn't see it coming either.
I thought she was going to die. I actually kind of forgot that she only had two lives because they all had wasted their lives.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, right, she still has another life. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That was cool.
That was a fun reveal.
What were you saying, James?
No, exactly everything we're talking about. Her being there, I didn't know that she was going to fall from the sky, but I did think that she had that other life. I just didn't know how they were going to use it.
Right.
Also, how did she know all those snakes were there? Like, what? Like, when did she know? Like, what? If this was a part of the plan the whole time, then how did she know?
I think she was just going to kill herself. I don't think she knew that.
I don't think it was a plan the whole time. I thought she was going to just try and, like,
run up and throw it to him or something. But then she, in the moment, was like, ooh, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. Ah, if I die.
I feel like it was supposed to, we were supposed to think it was the plan the whole time because she said, don't worry, trust me, I'll get it to you.
I assume she was just going to throw it.
But I just thought she would have died. Like, she could have died by one of those jaguars. Yeah, or
a jaguar.
You know, or getting trampled by an elephant, or just have Bobby kill her.
She could have found a way.
Yeah. I do like that they set up the idea that when you die, but if you have the stone, you still have it when you come back to life. When he was running from those rhinos. Yeah, there were three penis jokes in this movie.
I only remember one.
Which one do you remember?
I remember Kevin Hart like checking his penis.
Checking his penis and being like,
still there or whatever.
Well, he said, oh, you didn't check it yet? I'm happy to report that I brought one thing from me real world. Yeah. And then there was the whole like, I have to use the bathroom, and they were like telling her how to use it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They were just like, yeah, you don't forget to aim. And he's like, why do you keep saying that? I don't know what this is. I'm not doing anything. They also, and then the third penis joke was the rhinos, because he was like, you don't know what I've seen under there.
Oh, right. A classic.
Oh, then there was also a fourth penis joke.
Oh, what was the fourth one?
Because at the end, did we talk about, there are two more.
Oh my
God. Wow, five.
So after Jack Black hugs Nick Jonas, he gets a boner.
Oh, you're right. The boner.
A boner joke, yeah.
There was the boner joke.
Then at the end, when Jack Black,
these things are
is
so
shaking
weird.
Hands, she goes, bye, little guy, or goodbye. She says something. She says goodbye to her penis.
Okay.
Didn't remember that one. Wow, five.
Yeah, five penis jokes. So.
To review, five penis jokes.
Five penis jokes. So, yeah. But yeah, like I said, there was like that moment where the two women talked about, you know, she's like, why do you judge me all the time? And she's like, well, I'm not trying to judge you. It's just that I feel like, you know, maybe you're more than just being objectified or people trying to get something from you. And she's like, fair. Well, what do you think that maybe you judge people all the time because you're afraid of people getting to know you and like not liking you or something like that? She was like, maybe. So that was a little bonding moment. And then I loved how at the end she wanted to go backpacking.
Oh yeah.
Like hiking. And her friend was like, what? I was like, you know, there are pretty people who go hiking all the time. Like, I don't know why this was why
like
the writers
in
decided.
Nature? Yeah, in what
nature? I was like, I was like, okay, she's not a homebody. Like, yeah, that was a funny, weird thing. Yeah.
Oh, there was a moment at the end. I remember being confused by the timeline of like they got out of the game and then. One of them was like, have you talked to Martha yet? And it made it seem like multiple days went by and they like didn't speak or something.
It was like the weekend or something.
Yeah. I was like, really? You get out of Jumanji and you don't immediately like get together and debrief on this? The first time you walk by Freak House is 5 days later or something? But, you know, I guess they're busy. They got stuff to do.
But it was just the weekend though, right? Like he just got
scared. Yeah, it was the weekend.
But I mean...
Like Monday.
I don't care if it's the weekend.
Yeah.
I'm getting together with these three people. I'm at least talking on the way out of the school.
Yeah.
Like when our parents come pick us up, like after detention is done. We're having a conversation about what
God.
We just went
through. So funny. That's so true. Yeah, they didn't kiss until the Monday.
Yeah.
They got back. And then they really knew how to kiss because they practiced once.
Oh, the kiss with The Rock and Karen Gillan was
swirl.
So funny. That was so funny. She was great. She was like, she's not a comedian,
yeah.
But she was very funny in the in the flirting scene.
Yeah, she did
like,
well.
Yeah, she was great.
Yeah, no, she was on the show Selfie. So, I mean, she's not a comedian, but she can handle comedy.
Yeah, she was. I thought she was great.
James, be knowing about these shows, man.
Selfie? I only know.
What Dr. network Who? Is that on?
Selfie? I believe it was on ABC. The All ABC, right. The American ABC. Broadcasting Company.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's a big
she
show.
She was man. Also on Doctor Who, and she was funny on that, too.
Okay. Well, that's the... Yeah, I mean, there was a swirl in this movie, Jarrah said. But see, here, let me just...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to... Actually, Nick, if you can give me some music.
Uh-oh.
Dear Jarrah, what happened? Uh-oh. What happened to the swirl segment? Don't you understand that a swirl is not just a kiss on screen? I feel like we have diluted the purpose of the swirl. The swirl used to be...
Oh, come on, Bray.
When a black man and a white woman had sex on screen. And the reason for that is because it never happened. It never happened in any movie unless the movie was about race or 2015 Focus. But now... Or the and then again last year.
Focus the Will Smith movie.
Focus the Will Smith movie and The Mountain Between Us are the only two movies that have a black man and a white woman having sex on screen and the movie's not about race. Jarrah, what happened to you, man? No, I know you're a feminist and we can't do the swirl every week because you get a lot of crap for that. I respect that. Respect that. But when you talk about a swirl, don't be bringing up a kiss. And pretending it's a swirl. It's not a swirl.
Now, does it even count as a swirl because the characters, the human beings were both white?
That's exactly right. That's my further point. Both of these people were white. In fact, we've talked about this before. It happened with Will Smith. It's happening with Dwayne The Rock Johnson. They're trying to pretend like this man ain't black because he's white. He's a white kid in real life. And then he goes to the video game, and he's black, and they don't say anything. And you know what? There's a part of me that really likes that. And then there's another part of me that's like, are they erasing his race? Because they did that in San Andreas, where he had a white wife and a white daughter with blue eyes. And they didn't mention it at all. And I know some fans have said, hey, that happens. And I go, sure, maybe.
But statistically,
come on, y'all. That daughter was very white.
It's true. Mm-hmm.
So, Jarrah, come on, man. Do better. Do better, Jarrah. Do better on the swirl. Do better. All right. That ends my dear Jarrah.
Hey, wait, real quick, you guys. So, this is crazy. So, Zach, you may not know about this, but the movies that we've been watching lately. I was watching Jumanji, okay? And, like, while I was watching it, Bray probably noticed it, but Zach, you may not have seen it. So, like, I was watching it. And, like, you know how there's, like, a jaguar's eye, right, that they got to get, and it's green and it's shiny.
That's a green emerald.
They got to get it.
I noticed that and part, it's, yeah.
Yeah, no, but I know you noticed that part, but then they got to get it, and then there's, like, a villain that's, like, trying to get it. Like, the villain is, like, after it. The villain's, like, trying to get it. So I noticed it. I mean, and Bray probably noticed this part, and I noticed it.
I think we all noticed
that part. That's one of the Infinity Stones that the Hancock Justice League... is trying to protect. Now, I didn't get to talk about this with Bright because I wasn't there, okay? But there is a magic wand in Bright that the villain is trying to get. That's another Infinity Stone, So we got two Infinity Stones, the magic wand in Bright, okay? And then the Jaguar's Eye in Jumanji and the Hancock Justice League, which we all know features Hancock, who's the Superman of the group. Lonnie from Almost Christmas, you know, because he can take bullets to the chest. De La Cruz from Coco, because he can fly. You know, music is his superpower, okay? And then Floor, right? Because people are in Spanglish, because people are compelled to stare at her. The Bulldog from Roman J. Israel, okay? Because he's, you know, mysterious and strong. And then the three kids from
Bulldog.
Mudbound.
Are you talking about the Bulldog statue? He's talking about the statue. He's talking about
the
statue.
Because they have Green Lantern powers. You know what I mean? They have Green Lantern as power. So this is crazy how all of these movies are all in this extended universe for the Hancock Justice League.
Did you stay to the end of the Jumanji credits?
Oh, shoot.
Is there something at the end of the credits?
Yeah.
I didn't.
The Hancock Thanos, which is...
I hate you so much.
I can't even think of a character who it would be.
Honestly, that was enough. That was enough for me to hate you and for James to love you.
Okay, well, I got to go back and watch that so I can see what happened to Hancock. Because I'm sure there is a Thanos in the Hancock universe.
Hancock,
so I got to go
Thanos
back and watch
shows
it.
Up. Yeah.
Wow. I love how you're calling it Hancock Justice League, but bringing in Marvel's Infinity Stones.
I don't know. I feel like that is what it is. I feel like they're Infinity Stones.
Okay.
And then it's the Hancock Justice League. Yeah. It's really cool that they're doing this. I mean, like, it's really cool that they No, it's great that they have It's great. No,
it's
what are you talking about?
The Hancock Cinematic Universe.
Yeah, okay. The Hancock Cinematic Universe. Yeah, the HCU. Yeah.
All right, it's time for the cause.
I just want to say, you thought maybe I hadn't noticed that, but I had noticed that.
He did notice.
I was going to bring that up if you didn't bring it
oh,
up.
Oh, you did notice. Yeah. See, I didn't know, because I thought that, like, I thought I was, like, the only one watching it, and I know I've been talking about it so good. I'm glad you, Zach, I'm glad you, you stayed for the end credits.
All right.
I got to go back and do that.
It's okay. It's time for the cause. We rate and review films not based on how much we like them or how well we believe they were made critically, but how much they help the cause of more leading actors of color in Hollywood. So, if we think it fully helped the cause, we give it a black fist. If we think, you know, it kind of helped the cause, we give it a white palm. If we think it didn't help the cause at all, we don't give it any rating. Just nothing. You guys ready? Because on the count of three, we're going to throw up what our ratings were. Okay. Here we go. One. Two. Oh, snap. All right. We got a black fist and a white palm in the studio. James, what'd you give it?
I gave it a fist.
So two black fists and one white palm.
Am I eligible to give it a white fist as somewhere in between a black fist and a white palm?
No, because the two black fists and one white palm, you know, they all average out. Why'd you give it a white fist, Zach? A white palm. You got me saying a white fist is something entirely different.
I mean, I guess I don't really fully know why. Like, it obviously, it had two actors of color who were the main characters, and that was great. So, I mean, I guess, I don't know. But like you were saying, there were moments where it was like, are they erasing the Rock's race?
That's true.
And you know, I don't know. I would put it somewhere in between.
Got it.
I think it's overall a victory, but maybe not like a strong, decisive victory.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I gave it a fist just because The Rock, I mean, he's doing it. You know, he's achieved this status. I mean, we've talked about him a bunch anyway, but like, he is the new Will Smith in terms of what Will Smith did in the 90s and early 2000s. And, you know, and Kevin Hart make a great duo, like Gerard was saying. Oh, Gerard gave the movie a fist. He wants us to let you know. You know, I don't really care, but you know, he did. And then, cause he ain't here. He didn't come into work today. You hear that? Gerard. Okay.
Yep.
but
you're so antagonistic against him.
You're like, give me some music. Let me talk to Gerard. Gerard, why didn't you come into work today? That's it. That's the end of my Gerard. Why didn't you come into work today?
But yeah, I mean, you know, Kevin Hart and The Rock are doing their thing. I kind of understand why you gave it a white palm, because The Rock and Kevin Hart have been doing their thing for a while. It's like, do other people get to do this? But I mean, I do like the fact that they didn't really talk about race too much was cool, and that these people get to be action stars. I mean, it was great. I thought it was really fun. And yeah, what do you think, James?
Yeah, I because I had some of those issues of like of erasing The Rock's race and the gender stuff that I was talking about before, I was going back and forth between whether or not to give it a palm or a fist too. And also, like, you know, The Rock and Kevin Hart's fame has sort of been cemented, so it's like at what point is it helping, or is it just like now it's just more roles for them? So I get that for sure, but this gets a fist for me because two black people are revitalizing a film that I, like, loved when I was a kid, you know, and like they aren't the side characters like David Alan Grier was, who I loved in that, you know, when I saw the first one, but they are now like they are the main characters,
right?
And I feel like that is awesome. Like kids are gonna go see this movie, and they're the couple black leads in it, and like and they don't even really talk about race that much, but they do something. They don't shy away from it completely. You know, it's like, no, we're black. You know, Kevin Hart has those moments where he talks about being black, and so it's like it's cool that I think that like that this movie for kids and also touching people of another generation as well is happening with these two black leads in it,
right?
And then also like what people have been saying, because I had the gender issues that I had watching it, but people saying the sort of thing of like, you know, Jack Black kind of defends the character a little bit, and they kind of have some of these conversations they talk about, you know, briefly so that they can move past it and get to the funny, but like at least address those things. So I think that that's good. For that reason, I gave it a fist for that reason.
Nice. So two black fists, one white palm. Zach, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Is there anything you would like to promote or people can see you or follow you?
Season 2 of Crashing is coming out soon.
Oh, yeah.
I'm back in the building for that, so check that out.
Nice. Season 2 of Crashing on HBO. Steal somebody's HBO Go password. Yeah. or just get it yourself, honestly. James, what you got?
Yeah, you can follow me at James Third Comedy, jamesthirdcomedy.com. Third is 3RD. If you are in LA, January 23rd through the 26th, I'm in the CBS Diversity Showcase. There are tickets. You can find out ticket information on my website, which I've already said the name, James Third Comedy.
What was it?
.com.
Oh, right. That's it.
Yes. Jerah Milligan says he's off social media, even though he's constantly on it. He's constantly on it. He's on Twitter and Instagram. He says he's off it, but he's not. So go follow him at Jerah Milligan. I think it's like Jerah.Milligan or whatever. Whatever. He's the only Jerah Milligan. J-E-R-A-H. That's right. I'm spelling out his name because nobody spells his name right. And then you can follow me at John Braylock, JonBraylock on Twitter, Instagram. JohnBraylock.com is my website. You can follow the podcast at Black Men Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. We love it when fans reach out, talk to us, let us know how you felt about the movie. And you can rate and review us on iTunes. You give us 5 stars. We read your ratings on the air.
So you're saying Hancock Thanos is at the end of Jumanji?
Yeah.
Because that's so crazy. Because I haven't seen him yet, so I'm like wondering like who even is he gonna be?
I actually remember now who it is. It's
you remember now who it is? Who is it?
Hancock Thanos is it's the mountain from The Mountain Between Us. That's Hancock Thanos.
The mountain from the mountain between us. Yes. Oh, that's amazing. I got to go back and see it. And so like now the mountain is trying, and it makes sense why the mountain, because the mountain is trying to get the Infinity Stone.
Because it's made of stone and it wants its stone.
It's made of
back.
Stone. Mm-hmm, all right. Mm-hmm. Mountain trying to get, okay.
And the mountain.
I'm interested to see what these.
Here's where we get into it. The mountain, what's the rock made of? What's the mountain made of? It's made of the rock.
It's made of the rock.
The rock.
Oh my gosh. This is incredible. This is going to be the epic team up, you know, is going to be, you know, when they, it's going to have like a, what's a song? Ooh, okay. Cause Justice League, they did like a cover of Come Together, right? They did a cover of
All
Come
right,
Together.
So I think
this.
Yo, what, for real, I have zero idea which, because the year has passed, they just say 1 year ago. And now
so you can't tell which ones
I can't tell, but there is this one that I want to read, even though it's probably not recent. And it says, Just Because by Leland Brooklyn. I want y'all to read this on air. Make America cool again. Slogan for the next 4 years.
Well, it
I don't remember. I don't remember that one being read. So
I don't remember it being read either, which is why I read it. And, you know. Thank you guys for reviewing. I can't find any other reviews because it says 1 year ago.
Y2K all over again.
Y2K, man. This is real. Y2K is real, you know.
Yeah, that's the bug.
So, you know, thanks for reviewing. And next week, will we review Bebe's Kids? Who knows? That's what Gerard wants us to review.
That's oh, very Bebe's exciting. Kids.
But there is that new movie with, what's it, Proud Mary coming out?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Is that coming out like this weekend?
I don't know when it comes out.
The weekend of this podcast coming out?
It might. So we might have to review that.
I would see that.
Yeah.
I would go see that.
Yeah, I want to see that.
Yeah. All right. Zach, thank you again for coming on. Gerard, you're not here. James, you want to do Gerard's log out?
Okay, yeah.
We'll see you next week.
Peace. Did I do that right? Did I do it?
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, Black Men Can't Jump comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in 4 brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!